Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Hey, everyone. It's The Takeaway. I'm Shamitha Basu. You know, I just read the story that Tom Cruise is going to film a movie in space. He had apparently used Elon Musk's SpaceX rocket and filmed the whole thing in orbit. Well, that's definitely one way to social distance on a movie set, right? Anyway, he has the time. His Mission Impossible sequel has been delayed, as have many of the blockbuster franchises that we know and, well, sometimes love. As some parts of the country start to reopen, Hollywood is starting to look ahead to how studios will eventually reopen too. But things could be really different for filmmakers, for actors, pretty much for everyone involved in movie production in a post-pandemic world. Joining us to help us understand what it'll take to revive Hollywood and what changes we'll see is Alyssa Wilkinson, film critic and culture reporter at Vox.com, and filmmaker Sophia Takal. Thanks to both of you for joining us.
It's good to be here.
Thanks for having me.
Alyssa, give us a sense of the impact of the pandemic so far on the film industry. We're talking productions getting canceled, releases being delayed, countless jobs have been lost, right?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, initially it started with productions hitting pause with, you know, for what they said might be a week or two. Then it became clear that, you know, there with the lockdown orders that it wasn't possible for people to gather on big sets. Film sets are already kind of breeding grounds for disease. So when you add a highly contagious virus to the mix, that's a problem. And now that's kind of spiraled into films that were in production that shut down are now being delayed. So at this point, it looks like there isn't really a summer movie season. And even if theaters were to reopen, there's not a lot of movies left to put in them at the moment.
And Sophia, did the pandemic affect you at all as a filmmaker or any of the projects you're working on?
A lot of projects that I'd been talking about shooting this year definitely aren't happening. And projects that were not as far along in development in terms of like finding cast, those are all also sort of slowed down. The one lucky thing is that I'm also a writer and development and writing really hasn't slowed down. And there seems to be an interest in finding stories that people can tell within the new reality of having to make more contained, smaller films or TV shows. And so that seems to be where a lot of people's heads are at right now, is developing work that once, you know, the quarantine ends, can be made on a smaller scale than things were being made before.
Now, Steven Soderbergh, who directed the film Contagion, which is about a pandemic and which a lot of people have been watching right now, has been tapped to lead the Directors Guild Task Force, which is coming up with workplace guidelines for movie sets post-COVID. Alyssa, do we have a sense of what that task force is planning?
You know, right now, I think they're partly looking towards governments to see what kind of guidelines are going to be coming from the states and, you know, maybe even from the federal government. But also, you know, I think what we know is that Soderbergh, in particular, is a director who's known for being very innovative, and he's always trying to kind of find efficiencies and ways to kind of make films in more efficient ways. And so he's actually probably a really good leader for this. But at the same time, we do know that, you know, a lot is going to depend, for instance, on what unions are deciding about what are safe workplaces for their workers and what kinds of abilities large or small groups will have to gather. So there's a lot of things that are up in the air, and the Directors Guild is one piece of that, but it's also going to depend on all the other guilds that, you know, that different people in Hollywood work as part of, and then also independent productions, you know, whether there's money, ability to get resources, whether there's locations, whether we can, I think the most important part of all of this might be whether there's testing available so that people can maybe guarantee a small, closed, safe set. I think that will have a big, big impact on the kind of work that people can make going forward.
Alyssa, are there any studios that have plans to start production anytime soon?
So right now, I don't know of any. I'm sure that there are many conversations going on about this. There are also small projects going on here and there you know, to, so for instance, you know, Parks and Recreation did their own kind of socially distanced episode. That's right. Saturday Night Live has been doing the same thing, and it's been pretty successful. There have been a couple other instances of this, and I'm sure everyone is scrambling right now to think about which, you know, what kind of shows do they have that they might be able to produce in a kind of a separate way. It's funny to think about, for instance, a show like Netflix's reality show The Circle is actually predicated on the idea that everyone's in a different spot and they can't be in the same place. That's part of the game. So you can sort of imagine versions of these things going forward. But again, you know, nobody really wants that to be what the future of entertainment looks like. And so much is going to depend on, do we have tests? Can we say, okay, everyone on this set is not infected? And do we have the ability to quarantine people who are sick and kind of care for, you know, for people's health, which is everyone's, hopefully everyone's first concern. But I do think that we're going to see smaller productions and, like Sophia was saying, more contained productions coming back before we see these huge scale, massive budget projects. I mean, you just can't imagine a Mission Impossible traveling the globe, shooting in all these different countries in the next year or so.
We're not getting a new Marvel movie anytime soon. Is that what you're saying?
No, but of course they've delayed so many films that we still have several years of that content in the can.
Backlog, sure. Sophia, for you personally, what would you need to be in place to feel comfortable being on a set again?
You know, that really depends, again, on the size of the production. I made a film called Always Shine that I shot with a crew of five and with mainly two actors, and we all lived in a house together. And something like that, I feel like I'd feel comfortable doing even now, where, you know, maybe part of the prep schedule is including a 2-week quarantine where everyone's isolated and then we all come together, you know, after getting tested to make sure that we're all healthy. And then, you know, these kinds of like smaller indie films that I came up making make sense with this model. I think to make, you know, bigger movies, it would require a lot more testing and, of course, and just making sure that everyone, you know, safety protocols are in place. But those safety protocols also, to me, are a little bit contradictory to what I love about making movies, which is, you know, community and feeling close to the people you're working with. And the idea of physical distancing feels a little bit challenging, particularly with actors working together. How do you know, shoot scenes? I've been talking about this with a lot of my filmmaker friends. Like, are you using longer lenses? Are you blocking scenes where people aren't together? And how do you really make art in that context? It's challenging to think about.
Mm. Now, looking beyond film production, there's also the question of theater reopenings. Sophia, do you think people will feel safe and want to go out to the movie theaters again anytime soon?
I really am not sure the timeline for when people might want to go to the movies, but I'm very hopeful that this experience of people being isolated from one another will actually remind audiences what's so great about the movies, this communal experience of watching something and experiencing something together. So even if it takes a little bit of time, my hope is that people are eager and excited to get out and see movies on the big screen again.
Hmm. Alyssa, is streaming going to become more dominant, do you think, because of this outbreak? Or do theater chains still have a lot of sway in Hollywood?
You know, I think time will tell. A big question will be which theaters and theater chains are able to survive being shut down. So I think the question of sway may still be up in the air. So I do think that one form of streaming might become more dominant, which is that during this this sort of period of lockdown, we've seen some independent and art house distributors pivot to something they've been calling virtual theatrical, which is where they partner with various theaters, independently owned theaters, to release a movie as a sort of a streaming rental at home, and then split the money with the theater and the distributor. And while I don't think you're going to see people who love going to their local art house theater dropping off once this happens. I think everyone, like Sophia said, is going to be very excited to be back in the theater. But I do think there are cases in which movies were only released in a select number of cities, and theaters might even benefit from, you know, continuing to use this virtual theatrical model where someone who's a huge film lover but lives in a place where there isn't an art house theater or one that would have this film might be able to still buy it and watch the film and then be able to discuss it with their friends or be part of the conversation in a way that we didn't see before. So that's the kind of thing I really hope we'll see, is more accessibility of films. Just because we've seen some models that might work in ways that can benefit theaters and filmmakers, even after theaters reopen in whatever state that looks like it's going to be.
Alyssa, you've also written a little bit about how you think this is going to have long-term implications for things like film festivals and even award ceremonies. What's known and what's unknown right now about things like festivals and accolades?
Yeah, festivals are an interesting case this year. I mean, you know, obviously the Cannes Film Festival was supposed to start in about 2 weeks, and that is not going forward. The country is still under a pretty serious lockdown, and travel is difficult, and nobody wants to put that many people in one space. And that's kind of the issue with film festivals, is that they are designed to gather a lot of people into one space to see films. So much will depend on various countries and what their governments deem appropriate. But even the fall festival season, which is really, really important for launching films towards Oscar bids and things like that, for those who have that in their sights, those are really up in the air right now. And if they go forward, they're probably not going to look in 2020 like they usually do. And so that may change things. It may mean that some filmmakers want to hold their films back in the hopes that 2021 will look different. And it may also mean that we just don't get the same kind of Oscar season with all these prestige movies that we usually do. So there's an excellent chance, I think, that some of the smaller films that managed to come out this year digitally or maybe eventually in smaller theaters might actually have a run at awards in a way they may not have in a previous year that's more crowded with other kinds of films. And in anticipation of that, the Academy, which gives out the Oscars, and the Hollywood Foreign Press Association, which gives out the Golden Globes, has said that films that were released to streaming and not theatrically from March 15th onward to an unspecified date will be eligible for those awards. So we may see some real interesting things going on at next year's awards ceremonies, which honestly feels like the least important thing right now to be thinking about, but it is something that, you know, everyone is always thinking about in the industry, and festivals and theaters are a big part of that.
Sophia, I'm wondering if you're thinking of it the way that I am, which is this slowdown is happening right now, and I'm just wondering what it's going to take to crank the whole film industry back up into production again. I mean, not only financially, but also workforce-wise. What do you think it's going to take or look like?
Yeah, I am definitely wondering that. I feel like a lot of people are in this industry and other industries too. You know, actually, Alyssa was talking about what it would take earlier, and I actually feel like one thing that I keep hearing about is just insurance companies being willing to insure productions. And that seems like another piece of the puzzle that, I guess, when they feel like it's safe to insure, then maybe more productions will go into place. But I'm kind of at a loss. It's such an overwhelming moment in time. And so processing everything that's going on in the world and then trying to think about what's going to happen in the movie industry, it's all sort of blending into one big question mark for me. Like, to me, you can't really separate what's going to happen to the future of, you know, our country and to the world with what's going to happen in one particular industry or another. So I'm wondering when it's going to start. I'm not like chomping at the bit to get back to work until it does feel very safe. And no one's life is going to be put at risk to work. I'm just not sure when that will be or what it would take.
Sophia Takal is the director and co-writer of the recently released horror movie Black Christmas, and Alyssa Wilkinson is a film critic and culture reporter at Vox.com. Thank you so much to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.